We do wish to welcome each and every one of you this evening to Tech Talk, and this is April 16, 2007. We're especially pleased this evening to have two very knowledgeable presenters with us. Their names are probably very familiar to a lot of you, but just in case, let me do a little mini overview, and goodness, no way could I cover all their credentials. I'll start with Jennifer Sutton. Jennifer is the manager of alternate media for Bookshare. She is well known nationally for her work in marketing, in advocacy, and in membership development. She also is internationally known, as well as nationally, in many of the educational pursuits that she has achieved and is called upon to work with the National Library Service, with the DAISY Consortium, and on we go. So we are indeed proud to have her with us. John Glass, of course, is another person that is well known to many of us, and John is the manager of customer support with Bookshare. Many of you recognize his name from when he was with Arkenstone before it went to Freedom Scientific, and then he worked with Blazy and with Freedom Scientific as a consultant in the engineering department. So we're just very pleased to have them here tonight because they're going to tell us all about Bookshare. And so now it is indeed my privilege to present to you John Glass with Bookshare. And John, the microphone is yours.
Well, thank you very much, Pat, and good evening to everyone, or good afternoon, or good morning, depending upon where you are in the world with us today. I thought I would start out by telling everyone a little bit about Bookshare.org, what it is and how it got started, and a little bit of the history. Many of you are probably familiar with us, but Bookshare.org is an online library of digital books. And these books are available to people who have a print-related disability, who are living in the United States. And Bookshare.org is a community-driven service. In other words, we depend a lot on volunteers to help us make Bookshare what it is. And we're very thankful to all of you who are participating in our volunteer community. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Bookshare got started back in 2002 is when we launched. It was an idea that was originally thought up by Jim Fruchterman, who is our president and CEO. Our parent company is Benetech, and many of you will find Jim Fruchterman's name to be a very familiar one because Jim is the person who started Arkenstone back in 1989. Arkenstone was a company that developed reading systems. The one which most people recognize us for is Open Book. And after Arkenstone had been running for many years, there was an opportunity that came along for Jim to sell the business interests of Arkenstone to Freedom Scientific, allowed him to form Benetech, where he was able to pursue some new ventures. And the first one, and really the flagship project of Benetech, is Bookshare.org. The idea was that there are a lot of people who are scanning and reading books, and why not leverage the power of all of these books and get them together in one place so that people who have scanned a book can put it into library or repository and make it available for others who would like to read the same book so that they don't have to duplicate effort. And so this was really the idea or the basis of forming Bookshare. Bookshare currently has about 32,000 titles in our library. Bookshare has both an English and a Spanish website or interface. If you go to our website, which is Bookshare.org, and you are a Spanish speaker, there's a Spanish link near the top of the page, and you can click on that. It will take you to a Spanish version of our website, and we have many books available in Spanish that can be downloaded and read. Bookshare is really going into a well-stocked bookstore. We have books on just about every subject imaginable, and we these books which can be downloaded as either DAISY text files or BRF files. The BRF files are grade 2 Braille files, which can be read on a Braille display, either connected to your PC, or you can read the books with the BRF files in a compatible note taker. And we'll talk more about specific takers in a few minutes and which ones are directly supported. The next thing that I would like to talk a little bit about are features that are available to everyone, whether or not you're a subscriber to Bookshare. If you are not a subscriber to Bookshare, you're welcome to go to our website. You can search our catalog by author, title, or category. And we have, right now, approximately 5,000 public domain books in the collection, which can be downloaded and read for free. You don't have to be a subscriber. So you can get on the site and download public domain books. These books can be downloaded in the DAISY and BRF formats. They can also be downloaded as HTML or TXT files. So really doesn't need any special equipment for reading these books. You can bring them up in any editor or word processor. Most of these books came from Project Gutenberg, and they are available for anyone to download and read, as I just said. What you can do when you're on the website is you can search for books in the public domain, such as books by Mark Twain. We also have a web page that's a getting started page. It's our demo page. I believe the link is actually labeled demo or demonstration. And if you go to that link, you will be presented with a list of some of the more popular public domain books that many of our users have downloaded and enjoyed reading. The features that are available to subscribers, of course, the subscribers have access to the public domain books. They also have access to copyrighted books. We have approximately 150 daily local and national papers and magazines available through a partnership that we have with the NFB Newsline service, and those can be downloaded as DAISY text files or BRF files. We have approximately 600 O'Reilly books currently in the collection. These are technically oriented books that we have received directly from publisher that we've been able to put into the collection, and those are all available. Many of them have to do with computer-related topics. There are a number of books on programming languages, and they can be. We have a way of going to this collection. There's an O'Reilly Books page so that you can take a look and see exactly which books we have. Another project that we have going here is one where we have been putting the New York Times bestsellers into the collection. Each month what we do is we get the Times top 10 bestseller books in fiction and nonfiction. These books are purchased by Bookshare through a grant that we've received. They are scanned and processed in-house, and they're added into the collection. And we have a New York Times link on our main webpage that you can go to, and you can look at the list of the New York Times top 10 bestseller books that we have. For subscribers, we do provide a complimentary copy of Victor ReaderSoft from Humanware. This is a program that allows you to read our DAISY textbooks on your PC. It has its own screen reading functions built in, and it is a self-voicing program, so it doesn't require that you have any additional technology for doing the actual reading of the books. And that is a program that we do provide to our subscribers because most, I don't know if I should say most, but many of our subscribers are downloading and reading our books using a PC. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to send it back to Pat for a minute just to make sure they're coming through okay before I continue. So, Pat, please let me know if I'm sounding okay.
Yes, you definitely are, John. It's just fine.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Just wanted to make sure that everything is working well here. Well, the next thing that I'd like to cover is who is eligible to subscribe to Bookshare? And the answer to that question right now is people who are living in the United States with a documented print disability are eligible for a Bookshare subscription. And the way that a subscription works is a person logs onto Bookshare.org and goes to our individual subscription link where you fill out a small short form giving us your name, your address, and your email address. The second step of the three-step process is to verify proof of disability. And we can do this in one of two ways. If you are a patron of NLS, the National Library Service, and you receive talking books, we have a short form on that page that you can fill out, giving us your name, your address, and letting us know which NLS sub-regional library you receive your services through. And what we can do is we can verify with NLS that you are a patron. And once we have that verification, what we do is we let you know that we've received it by sending an email to you. And the third and final step of the process is to pay for your individual subscription. And you can do that online. We have a secure credit card service that we use. When we email you letting you know that we've received proof of disability, that message includes a direct link that you can use for paying for the subscription online. Now, if you're not an NLS subscriber, the second way that we can have you provide us with proof of disability is we have a printable form on the website, which you can access by going to the individual subscription page. That form can be printed out and can be signed by an authorized professional and returned to us by fax or mail. And once we receive that, we send out the email message that I just mentioned so that you can finalize the subscription process and become a subscriber to Bookshare and start downloading and enjoying all of the copyrighted material that we have to offer. In addition to offering the individual subscriptions, we also have institutional subscriptions available. And these are subscriptions that we offer to schools and groups and organizations where they have multiple students or members who have a print disability. The way that the institutional subscriptions work is actually there are two types. There is what we call an individual sponsored subscription, and that works just like the individual subscription that I described just a second ago. The other type of subscription that we have is what we call a group account. And when an organization signs up for a group account, they purchase a block of books, either 30, 60, or 100 books. And they supply us with a list of their students, typically. These accounts are best for schools, where a teacher, for example, is going to be doing the actual downloading of the books for their students. And so the person who is the downloader is able to log into the system, find a book for their student, select the student that they're going to be downloading it for from the roster that they've supplied to us, and then they go ahead and download the book. And this works really well, especially for younger students who maybe have some computer skills, but maybe don't have, you know, the ability to get onto our site and download themselves, but yet they need to read some of the books that we have in the collection. So that works out really well. One of the questions that I get, a port person here all the time, is How do I find books on your system? You know, you have these 32,000 books, but how do I find books that I want to read? Well, as I mentioned earlier, you can search by title, author, and category, but we also have some other lists on our site that make searching for books a little easier. For example, we have the list or newest 100 books that have been added to the collection, and this is a list that gets updated on a daily basis. You can go to our main website and you can search for 100 newest books, and it'll bring up the list, and you can go down that list and take a look at all of the books that have been recently added. As I mentioned before, we have a link that will take you to our New York Times page, and you can look at all of the New York Times top 10 bestseller books that we have. You can look at the O'Reilly books, and you also have the ability on Bookshare to search by category, which I mentioned just a moment ago, but just to give you a couple of examples, if you wanted to find books on history or sports, for example, you could use the advanced search feature and search by category. So those are some ways that you can search for books that you'd like to read or find books in the collection that are of interest to you. A lot of people ask me, what products can I use for reading the books? How can I read these electronic books? Well, they can be read a number of ways. If you want to read the books on your computer, you can use one of the Daisy players, such as the complimentary copy of Victor ReaderSoft that we provide. There are also other Daisy players that will read our books just fine. A couple of examples are GH Player, FS Reader, the Eclipse Reader product from IRTI, and there are several others that read our books very well too. There are a number of note takers that will read our books. Some examples are the Braille Note line of products from Humanware, the PackMate from Freedom Scientific, and the Braille Sense and the new Voice Sense, which are carried by GW Micro. Those products will also read our books. As far as portable players are concerned, something that you can actually put in your pocket and easily take with you, some of the portable players are the BookPort from APH, the American Printing House for the Blind, the book from Springer Design, and you can find information on it by going to www.bookcourier.com. And probably the newest product is the Icon from Levelstar, which is www.levelstar.com. Those are three portable players that can read our books. The BookPort and Book Courier are devices that have the DoubleTalk speech synthesizer in them. What you do is you download books on your PC, and then you transfer the books from your PC into the player using a USB cable and transfer software that they provide. The Icon is a product that actually has a built-in web browser and can connect to the internet in a number of different ways, including wirelessly, and it has software built into it that allows you to search directly on Bookshare for books, and you can download them directly without having to first get the books on your PC. One of the things that I haven't mentioned yet is that when you download a book from Bookshare, it is a packed book, as we call it, or it's encrypted. It's very similar to having a zipped file like you have probably experienced with WinZip or PKZip. We have a free unpack utility that you download from our website, and once that utility is installed on your PC, it sort of lives in the background. You don't ever have to run it directly. Basically, what you do is you go to a book that you've downloaded, click on that book title or press enter, and it runs the unpack utility automatically and unpacks the book into the folder that you specify. And then you either have the Daisy copy or the BRF copy of the book. Now, the note takers mentioned just a minute ago, the Braille Note family of products, the PacMate, and the Braille Sense and Sense, all of those note takers have our Unpack utility. Actually, with the PacMate, it's a utility that you download. But this means that you can use the note taker and download the books directly without having to first download them on a PC. And the taker will unpack the books and allow you to read them. We also have an Unpack utility for the Macintosh that's available for free download. And both of these utilities are found on our Download Tools page, by the way, which you can access directly from the Bookshare.org homepage. So that's a little bit about reading the books and which devices can read them and that sort of thing. The next thing that I want to cover is how books fit into the Bookshare collection. Well, most of the books that we see have been scanned by volunteers. And what people will do is they will get a book and scan it into their computer using OpenBook or Kurzweil or Win or any number of books. Some people are using FineReader or OmniPage. It doesn't really matter which OCR package you use to scan your book. But once the book has been scanned in, the book is then saved and can be uploaded to Bookshare for possible inclusion into the collection. Once the book has been uploaded, it goes into our validation queue. And once it's there, a second volunteer will download the book and check it to make sure that it meets our criteria for addition into the collection. And some of the things that the validator looks for, they want to make sure that the book contains the copyright page, that it contains the title page, that the book is complete. In other words, we want to make sure that someone didn't accidentally partial book. Many times our validators will download books that they themselves are interested in reading, so not only do they spot check it for these things, but they'll go through and read from cover to cover. If they find scanning errors while they're reading, they'll fix those. We also do require that books contain page breaks, and I should mention at this point that there are certain formats that we ask people to submit books in, and the formats that we accept are RTF, which is rich text format. We will accept books in Microsoft Word .doc. We accept the file formats from OpenBook, which is .ark, the .kes files from Kurzweil, and also the .win files from Win, which is a Freedom Scientific product. So those are the file formats that we accept for book submissions. Let's see. Once the book has been validated, it is sent back to us and it goes into our administrative queue. Once in the administrative queue, the book is given one final look by one of our administrators here at Bookshare, and then it is added into the collection. Or if the book needs to be rejected for some reason, it gets rejected and the submitter is sent notification as to why the book was rejected, so that they're given the opportunity to fix it and submit it again so that we can hopefully add the book into the collection. As I mentioned earlier, we currently have approximately 32,000 books in the collection on just about every subject imaginable. That's something that we're very, very proud of, because we have books in the collection sometimes that can't be found anywhere else. And we also have books into the collection sometimes a lot more quickly than they are made available by any other alternate media producer. So that's one of the things that's kind of nice. Sometimes a person will get a book that they want to read because maybe their colleagues are reading it, so they'll scan it, send it to us, and we'll have it, you know, sometimes even days after it was initially released to the public. I'm going to take a quick breaker and just make sure that I'm still coming through okay before I continue on with a couple of more thoughts.
Everything is just fine, and we really appreciate the information that you're sharing with us, John.
Let me jump in, and if I may give John just a quick break, toss in a couple things. Let me stop here and make sure John agrees.
Sure, Jennifer, by all means, please go ahead.
I thought John might need a drink of water or something. So a couple of quick things I thought I'd toss in were when John was going over the kinds of reading options that people have, two that are worth mentioning are that in addition to SCSS with OpenBook and Kurzweil, 1000 particularly, people can also read Bookshare books, Bookshare.org books, with both of those products, OpenBook and K1000. And what's especially valuable with that reading experience is that you can see, you can search for books in the Bookshare.org collection with two pieces of software, as well as, of course, if you have them, you're aware that you can search for books in other collections as well. And some people will download books from the validation queue, for example, in K1000 if they have that product, and they will choose to validate books submitted with that KES extension, and then they can see them as RTF and then submit them to the administrative approval queue that I was describing. Or that will be true with OpenBook ARK files as well. The other thing I'd say would be when John was talking about having books within days of sometimes within days of their release to the public, we have a tradition here at Bookshare.org, and as far as I know, we intend to uphold this year, which will be to go on, I think I have the date right, but someone will correct me when I stop talking. I believe we'll be going on the evening of July 12th to go get the last Harry Potter novel. I believe I have an appointment with our alpha volunteer, Ms. Karnos, to join her for those festivities at some bookstore she will choose, and we will go and we will get this book, and Carrie and I will work on scanning it, and mostly Carrie will work on scanning it, and I'll work on helping her stay awake with coffee and beverages, and she will get it onto the Bookshare.org website on the day that it's released. Or I don't know, what do? Maybe we go on the 13th. Anyway, you're going to have it in 24 hours, so everybody will be happy about that. Okay, now I will relinquish the controls and let John step back in.
Well, thanks, Jennifer. And that was some information that I forgot to mention regarding OpenBook. Thank you very much for that. One of the things that some people wonder about is the quality of our books, and this is a question I get all the time from people who are interested in subscribing to Bookshare. We have three qualities of books in the library. We have books that are excellent, which contain very few errors. We have books that are good, which contain some errors, but are generally still very readable. And we have books that are what we call fair quality. The fair quality books, admittedly, some of them do have quite a few errors, but if it's a book that you really want to read and it's got some information in it that you really need to get, most of the fair books, you can get quite a bit out of them. I would say that most of the books that we've been getting over the last couple of years, especially, fall into the excellent category. And this is really good because it makes for a very pleasant reading experience. These quality levels are actually community driven. So when a person submits a book to us, they get to choose the quality level that they feel the book falls into. And then when the book is validated by the second volunteer, that person has the opportunity to take a look at the quality level that the bidder has selected and either agree or disagree with it. So the quality levels are somewhat subjective. But like I said, most of the books that have been going into the collection over the last couple of years do fall into the excellent category, and that's something that we're very proud of. Another thing that I want to mention about volunteering is that volunteers do earn credits, and these credits can be used toward purchasing a new subscription or renewing an existing subscription. And the way the credits work is this. When you admit a book to Bookshare and it gets added into the collection, you earn $2.50 for that book. When you validate a book and that book is added into the collection, you earn 50 cents. So we have some volunteers who earn their year subscription by helping Bookshare, either by submitting or validating books. And some of our volunteers do both, which is really great. The next thing I want to cover is how you become a volunteer. Well, you don't have to be a volunteer to submit a book, but you do have to be a volunteer in order to validate a book. And what it means to be a volunteer is that you go to Bookshare.org. We have a link that is entitled About Volunteering. And when you go to that page, there is a short form that you can fill out letting us know that you'd like to be a volunteer. We ask you a few questions about the adaptive technology that you use, whether or not you've ever scanned a book, whether or not you're able to unzip files, because when you download a book to validate it, it is zipped, and you need a program that will allow you to extract the book from that compressed archive. Once we receive your form back, we review it, and we give you volunteer status by setting that flag in your account, and that gives you access to the volunteer homepage. From the volunteer homepage, you can download books to validate, you can join our volunteer email list, and you can do a number of other things which volunteers want and need to do. Speaking of email lists, I should mention at this point probably that in addition to the volunteer email list that we have, we also have a general discussion list, and everyone is welcome to join that list. It's a fairly low traffic list, and people on the list discuss everything from the latest books that they're scanning to the technology they're using for reading the books. And sometimes the conversation will even go off a little bit onto books that people are reading from other sources and that sort of thing. And as long as it has to do generally with reading books and with scanning, and you know, the subject matter is of interest to the majority of the people on the list, we're very happy to let people discuss the subjects that are of interest to them. If you'd like to join the discussion list, what you do is you send a message to bookshare-discuss-request@freelists.org. And when you send a message, you will receive a confirmation message back in your email letting you know Free Lists has received a request for you to subscribe to our discussion list, and you respond to that, and then you receive a welcome message back with more information about the specifics of the Bookshare Discuss list. Another thing we want to mention for volunteers is that we have a volunteer manual that we're just about ready to release, and this manual covers everything that you would want to know from A to Z about volunteering with Bookshare. And so that's something that we'll be releasing real soon, and I know a lot of people that I've mentioned this to are very excited about it, and Jennifer has done a lot of work on this project, so I'm going to turn it back over to her for just a minute to talk a little bit more about this volunteer manual, because we're really looking forward to getting it out there.
Thanks, John. Yeah, we've been working on this volunteer manual for a while. We have had the very much appreciated help and inspiration from Gerald Hovis, who some of you all may know if you're active Bookshare volunteers already, and Kelly Hartman was very much involved in this, and many, many other people who I won't go on and mention here, but they will be mentioned in the manual. A lot of support from different groups. This manual is going to be very comprehensive, but also at the same time very skimmable. The sections are very, basically I would say that they're discrete sections. In other words, many of these sections can be read as standalone sections on how to do this, that, or the other thing. And it takes you step by step by step through every bit of how to submit a book to Bookshare. In other words, how to enter the author's name. For example, if you were scanning a book by Mark Twain, we want you to put Mark Twain, not Twain, comma Mark, not Mark, comma Twain, or anything like that. If you have a book with two authors, for example, we don't want you to put Mary Jane Smith and John Doe. We want you to put Mary Jane Smith, comma John Doe, because that enables our tools to mark each person's name. That comma separator enables our tools to mark each person's name as an author. So that when you see those author links or when you do an author search and you look for John Doe, he'll come up. Whereas if we had an and, it would confuse the back end at this point. So the manual is going to be very comprehensive. We've been lucky enough to have the help of a very detailed volunteer who takes perfectionism to a level that even I can't believe, and she's worked very hard to be consistent because there was a lot of people had worked on this project, and so we needed to make the writing style consistent and things like that. So any of you who've done any amount of writing have some idea of what we've been working on, but we are very close to done. I would say, well, I'm reluctant to give out deadlines, but it shouldn't be too much longer. I'll say at least. And this will help folks on the volunteer list, particularly because when questions get asked over and over and over again, people won't have to, find their boilerplate message that they always send out in response to this question. You'll be able to say, "Hey, see section 2.2.9 about such and such and so and so," and people will be able to go straight there in their manuals and read what they need to know. So, we are all looking forward to it, particularly our generous and fantastic volunteer list moderators, Gerald Hovis and Jake Brownell. Okay, back to John or whomever.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. And the manual has really been an exciting project. We're all looking forward to releasing it. And as the customer support manager here, I'm especially looking forward to it because I know it's going to cut down on the number of questions that I get here, and that'll allow me to be more responsive to support questions, and it'll allow me to also be working on other projects here too. So it's really going to be great. Pat, I'm going to turn it back to you. I think we've covered at least the basics. We've gotten a good start here, and I wonder if maybe we should take some questions. So, Pat, over to you.
Okay, and Bob Acosta, I believe you're going to handle the question period, so I'll turn the mic over to you.
Okay, thank you, Pat. If you have a question and you are on microphone, please do F8 and write a Q. Your name automatically comes up, and you enter. F8, write Q, and enter. Your name comes up, and then, we'll call on you, and you get it. You ask the question. One question per Q. If you're a text chat person, you don't have a microphone, again, F8, write your question, and enter. So let's see how that's going to work. If you're on the microphone, don't just lean on the control key. Go up to F8. And put the letter Q and enter. And then we know you have a question for our microphone people, and we'll recognize you, we all back off and let you hit the control key and come on and ask your question. One question per name. You can go on later. That's fine. But that's the way it's going to be. Again, if you do not have a microphone, you do not have one, just F8, write your question and enter. It's not really that complicated, and I'm probably making it so. So I'm going to be quiet now and let our moderator, Fred Bertelsen, handle this part.
Okay, a recorder has typed in a question in text chat wanting to know, can I send books to Bookshare to be scanned and placed in the collection?
I'll dive in and take this one. Hopefully John figures that I will. We've worked together for so long, we almost can read each other's mind. Here's the deal with that. We have a very, very small staff and a very limited number of volunteers. So, if you choose to go this route, we make no guarantees to when these books will end up in the collection. And if you choose to go this route, I would very much encourage you not to send us 30 books at a pop or that sort of thing. I would say you may send a few books, but we simply can't guarantee when these books will be put in the collection. And also, when we do scan books for other people, we simply put these books into the validation queue, and whatever happens to them after that is up to the community. If you send a couple books to Bookshare.org, we'll do our best to get them into the step one validation queue, and the best thing would be for you to validate them yourself. So we might do something, and you would tell us, you know, or we would tell you, you should tell us whether you're going to validate these books or whether you just want them to be in the free form validation queue. But we can do something like hold for, you know, Pat or whatever, and then Pat could get her books. Sorry, I've forgotten the name of the questioner, but you all get the gist. But I would suggest to be very conservative with this. And like I said, we just can't guarantee when we would get them in the collection. The other thing to be very well aware of is, if you send books to us to scan, we will top off the spine, and we basically don't send the book back to you. It basically gets recycled. If you want the book sent back to you, you know, it'd be great if you'd include postage, quite bluntly. and then you'd get a book back with, you know, the pages would be inside the cover, but the book would not be rebound. You'd just get it as it was taken apart to scan. Because when we scan, we use a high-speed sheet feeder. So I hope that helps. When I'm talking small staff, we have about a handful of volunteers. And those volunteers actually have other projects that they do that aren't even just scanning books. Because more and more we have source files that we're getting from electronic sources that I can talk about a little bit later. And those volunteers are also needed to help us process some of that. So, you know, we do what we can. But our number one priority for scanning in-house these days is New York Times. Period, plain and simple, because those New York Times are proofread, and they take a good bit of time. We don't just submit those New York Times to the validation queue. We proofread them, and they get very careful attention. So hope that helps, and if you do choose to send books to Bookshare, you should put my name on them, which is Jennifer Sutton. But please, everybody, don't deluge us, because we don't want the New York Times to get behind.
Okay. That was from Pat Price, by the way. John Ballou has a question.
What is the subscription annually for this program?
Hi, John. An individual subscription is $75 for the first year and $50 for each additional year. And with the subscription, you do have unlimited access to our library. So if you'd like to download and read 50 books a month, you're more than welcome to do that. And as I said before, you also have access to the online newspapers. So if you live in an NFB-funded state, you can read your local newspaper if you like. And you also have the ability to download the complimentary copy of Victor ReaderSoft, which is the DAISY software that you can use on your computer for reading our books. So again, it's $75 for the first year and $50 for each additional year, and that does give you unlimited access.
Access.
Okay, Rob and Sherry Hansik have a question.
Good evening, John and Jennifer, and it's good to hear you both. I understand that the Philadelphia Library, those who are members of the Philadelphia Library for the Blind, who are NLS, you know, members, already are members of Bookshare. What's that, Jerry?
They have a grant.
They have a grant, I guess, going for people who can belong to Bookshare already for, I think, 2 or 3 years. And with this membership, is it possible to get, does the Victor Reader come with that particular membership as well?
Hi, Rob and Sherry. Yes, Victor Reader Soft does come with that subscription, and you're welcome to install it on multiple computers. If you like to read Bookshare books at work and also at home, or if you have your desktop computer at home and also a laptop, you can do that. So we don't mind you installing it on multiple machines if you like to do that.
I'd like to jump in and toss quick other thoughts about Victor ReaderSoft real quick before we go to the next question. First of all, we are expecting to release a new version of Victor ReaderSoft imminently. Again, I'm going to be vague about when, but it should be in the next couple months, maybe sooner. But we have already been doing some preliminary testing and that sort of thing, so I can promise that it's not vaporware, and it's going to be working, as far as hell so far, it's going to be working quite well with our content. And the other thing to know about Victor ReaderSoft is that this complimentary version of Victor ReaderSoft that we offer only works with our books. In other words, HumanWare, which is the developer of Victor ReaderSoft, sells its own version, which has more functionality. For example, you could use it with RFB and D books because it has audio capabilities. But our version of Victor ReaderSoft is available to our Bookshare.org subscribers, and it only will work with Bookshare.org books. In other words, a lot of the audio capabilities and that sort of thing are stripped out because you don't need them with our books because our books have text. And this is due to a very close and congenial working relationship that we have enjoyed with HumanWare for a number of years now.
Okay. Pat Price has also asked, can a person scanning a book also validate his or her submitted book? I believe you've already covered that.
I'll jump in and handle that one, too. I don't know. I'm not sure that John was very explicit, but I will be very explicit. We prefer that people do not self-validate. We would prefer that Pat would submit her book and that I, if I were just a quote-unquote normal member, for example, that I would validate her book for her. And the reason for this is that it helps to ensure quality. It helps to, now of course we know that Pat's books would be perfect, but it helps to ensure quality. It helps us to be sure that the copyright information that we need in the front of the book, the title page, all those sorts of are in there as we need them to be according to our internal policies and also according to our agreements with how Bookshare.org will work, kind of how we've set these things up with the American Association of Publishers, the AAP. So we do have some agreements and guidelines and that sort of thing that we have to uphold. And while we know that submitters often feel most comfortable validating their own books because they may have read them and they may have corrected them and that sort of thing, we prefer people not to self-validate. Now, if you submit a book and you know that you've proofread it, you may write in your comments when you submit the book, I have proofread this and I'm very confident this will be an easy validation, so that when somebody does choose to validate the book, you will have already told them that, hey, this is a pretty good scan and I'm pretty confident. And using those comments is often how validators and submitters can communicate with one another. Hope that helps.
Okay, Bob Acosta had a question.
Hi, John and Jennifer. I'll just ask it. Number one, volunteers, must they be members of Bookshare? And what about sighted friends like book clubs and such? And we in the Bookshare, because I think you guys are fabulous, and please extend our great gratitude to the volunteers. But what about mobilizing book clubs, people that read all the time and have them scan with their scanners? Or do they just have to use, you know, is it just blind guys with Kurzweil and such?
I'll go ahead and take a crack at this one, and if I mess anything up, I'm sure Jennifer will be glad to jump in and let me know. Absolutely not. A person does not have to be a subscriber to Bookshare to be a volunteer. We have a number of sighted remote volunteers that help us out, and we're very appreciative of their efforts. In order for a person to become a volunteer, what they need to do is go to our homepage, choose the individual subscription link, and sign up as a member. And what they're doing on that page is they are giving us their name, their address, and their email address, and then they can request to become a volunteer. And of course, since they are non-disabled, they don't have access to the collection of books as far as being able to download books from the library, but what they can do is they can download books from the validation queue to validate them and send them back to us so that they can be added into the collection. These folks are also welcome to scan books and submit them to us at Bookshare so that they can be validated and added. So absolutely yes, Bob, we very much welcome sighted volunteers.
And just to add to that, when someone does sign up for to become a volunteer, they are currently sent a basic sort of instructions on how to validate and what it means to be a volunteer and that sort of thing. And my vision at this time will be that we will take a look at that email as it currently exists, make any slight modifications that we might like, but especially when the volunteer manual is released, we will, I anticipate at this time, provide a link so that folks can download that volunteer manual. So if you have book clubs in mind that you want to solicit to, you know, join our little merry band, which isn't actually all that little, we probably have over 200 active volunteers at this time, but if you want to solicit book clubs to join this merry band of book lovers, give us a couple, you know, give us a month or 6 weeks or so to get the volunteer manual finished, because this way these folks can start off with documentation about how they should proceed, and that way they can start off submitting. And of course, or not of course, but most sighted folks would be submitting probably in Word or RTF, and so that's kind of how that would work. But you know, our staff is so small at the moment that we don't have the capacity at this time to be really, really actively recruiting and training new volunteers. That's something we hope to get back to in the future, but our focus right now is really trying to work with publishers to get files electronically and sort of move away, at least to some extent on the in-house side of Bookshare, from tons of scanning. And also, we haven't talked much about this, but we're in efforts to focus on going international as well. And so recruiting and training volunteers is not the highest on my list of priorities at the moment, unfortunately.
Okay, Marcia Moses has a question.
Good evening. Did you say that the complimentary Victor Reader has its own speech engine, or would it be using your whatever you screen reader voices you have on?
Hi, Marcia. Yes, Victor Reader Soft does have its own speech engine. It uses the Microsoft speech. However, if you have other software speech on your computer, such as Eloquence or the RealSpeak voices, I believe, are supported. A number of software speech engines that Victor Reader can work with, and what happens when you go into its audio menu you can have it go out and take a look at your system to see which software speech engines it finds. And what it'll do is it'll put those in the list of accessible engines. So you can choose from any that you have installed on your system. But you don't have to have your screen reader running when you use Victor ReaderSoft, because it has all of its own screen reading functions built in for working within the program itself, for manipulating its settings, and of course for reading the books.
Okay, Lisa Hall would like to know, do you use various resources in verifying proper information provided in the book?
Well, I'll take this one, and if Jennifer has information to add, I'm sure that she'll jump in. That's really where the validation process comes into play. Once a person has scanned and submitted a book to us, we hope that they've taken the time to make the book as accurate as they can as far as removing scanning errors and making sure that it's complete. But when we go through the validation process, this is something that the validator can help us with in terms of making sure that the book is as accurate and as readable as possible. Jennifer, do you have anything you want to add to this?
Yes, and we do some checking of that same sort of information when we're doing the final approving and publication of the book. In other words, we do some checking of the metadata, some checking of author names, do they look right, the copyright date, those sorts of things. We do some eyeballing, but we don't review every line of the book and do proofreading in that minuscule a fashion. We need to count on our submitters and validators to be helping with that sort of thing. But sure, I mean, you know, we use copyright.gov. I mean, I'm not sure what Lisa you mean exactly by resources, but we use copyright.gov. We use Amazon.com ourselves, you know, because sometimes it's a quick way to look up books. We use other library type of resources if we have questions. But copyright is one of our key things that we must do, and we really want submitters and validators to work with us on that to get the copyright holder and the copyright year accurate, because that's critical for us.
Okay, Pam Drake has a question.
Yes, I was wondering, I know at least one instance where a person submitted a book and just never heard anything, never got any...
we don't have any audio coming through.
It was going to be accepted. They just never heard. One way or the other, if a person submits a book, is there a way that you can, should they look for, if they don't get a verification, should they contact you? Did I hear you say you couldn't hear me?
I'm sorry, I do want to say that the audio is very, very low on Pam. I've been a long time user of Bookshare. I download a lot of the books. And I'm also a certified Braille transcriber, and I do highly recommend, if at all possible, that we try to get as accurate as possible on those books, because I have run into some errors in the past in some of those books.
I'll take both of the questions. I think I heard enough of Pam's, so if I haven't quite answered it correctly, maybe you can contact us, Pam, afterward, or... adjust your audio and re-ask your question, and I'll take your question too, Lisa. So Pam, if someone submitted a book and they never heard back one way or the other, one thing that's important to emphasize is that this is a community-driven type of service. So one way that anyone can, and I'm beginning to hear this question enough to recommend that anyone should, check to make sure that their book, when they submit a book, check to make sure that it's been received by going to the Step 1 validation page and searching for your book. Now, sometimes that validation queue can be rather full because people are very busy scanning and submitting books. So what I recommend that you do is you use your Find command in your browser and you search for the book title or the author's name or some sort of string that will ensure that you find the book on that Step 1 validation page. So that's one way to ensure that the book was submitted. Whether somebody has chosen to take that book out of the validation queue or not. So in other words, that somebody might have chosen it and validated it, or somebody might have chosen it and reviewed it and suggested rejected. We don't really have a lot of control over that. In other words, what I'm saying is that people can submit books, and they can sit in the validation queue for as long as it takes for somebody to choose that book to work on. And that's what I mean by this being a community-driven effort. And so, you know, the best thing to do is check to make sure that it actually got submitted, and then, you know, hey, if the person submitted the book and they know somebody else is a member or somebody else is on tier, they could email their friend and say, hey, would you go validate my book? It's been sitting in the queue. Or something like that. Send a message to the discuss list and ask if somebody would validate it, if somebody's really anxious to get it in the collection. But we don't sort of monitor that queue and say, hey, somebody get this book and validate it, because we just don't have the bandwidth for that sort of thing. Now, on to Lisa's question. Lisa, I know what a big Braille advocate you are, and I, too, am a big believer in Braille, and I know that John is as well. What the situation is with Braille at Bookshare is that there is no human intervention in the production of our Braille. Our books basically go through software on the back end that does the translation on the fly when somebody requests that book. And we simply do not have the bandwidth to, you know, have transcribers employed and do that, do the sort of great sort of proofreading that we might all dream and like NLS actually does. So it's sort of with Braille, if you all remember sort of the concept of, as I recall, they used to call it like Jiffy Braille that National Braille Press used to have. That's kind of what we have. I'm not trying to say our Braille is the same as theirs, because I haven't done that kind of comparison, but it's the concept I'm trying to talk about. We do have in our engineering queue for our software engineers, effort to do some upgrades on our software, and then for, frankly, me and John, because me and John are the Braille readers at Bookshare, to do some testing of that output and hope that some of that production will be, some of that output will improve the quality. But we, you know, we absolutely recognize the importance of maintaining pages and that sort of thing, and there has been some effort to address that sort of thing. So believe me, you're talking to two people who are very aware of the benefits of well-formatted Braille, and we do everything we can without having humans on staff to make it as good as we can.
Okay, Mike Keithley has a question.
Okay, hi. It's actually I'm at Mike Keithley's, and we do have a question, and that is about the, these obviously scanning books takes a lot of effort, and I'm just wondering what's done in terms of electronic books being input into the system. I think the O'Reilly books are the electronic, if I'm not mistaken, come from an electronic source. Is that right? And if so, what other sources might be available?
This is why we had John do all the talking at the beginning, so I could do all the talking with the questions. Okay, yes, indeed, O'Reilly's do come from O'Reilly Media in electronic formats. And in terms of other electronic files, I'm not actually able to disclose at this point, and I'm not being vague to be vague, but under our agreements with different organizations that we're working with, I'm not really able to disclose exactly who we're working with. But suffice it to say, we, and this is the primary, one of the primary activities that I've been doing with Bookshare since I started a year ago, is to work with authors and publishers, because both do contact us, and we also solicit and try to begin working relationships with publishers to bring electronic source files into the collection, and at the same time also solicit permissions on this content that will enable us to share it worldwide. So this dovetails with our efforts to take at least some parts of Bookshare.org Content International. And we won't go spend our evening tonight having a big long discussion of copyright and U.S. laws and other countries' laws and that sort of thing. But this is something that we are actively pursuing. In terms of electronic source files, what I will say is that we sort of have two formats that we're focusing our attention on, because we believe that these two formats will yield for you all, the end users, the best bang for our buck in terms of convertibility, if you will. And the two formats that we're focusing on are PDF and what we call, or what is called, Open eBook. And Open eBook is a standard that the International Digital Publishing Forum supports, and I've been actively working with that organization over the last year, and that content has, content from publishers has the obvious value that it will be letter perfect. But what we are specifically working on with these two source formats, PDF and Open eBook, are being able to capture markup that's provided in consistent ways. And what that would translate for you all as end users is any kind of page markings that are retained, any kind of chapter markings that are retained, subchapters, that sort of thing. Things that are a little bit trickier to maintain when you're scanning a book and maintain them. So that's the sort of richness in addition to letter perfectness that we're seeking. And so while I can't tell you exactly sources at this point, we are working on quite a number of initiatives in this area. And I have plenty of documents to test, let's put it that way. It'll be a while before you all see the benefits, but when you do, you'll realize that it's been worth the wait. I'm confident of that.
Matthew Bullis has a question.
I'm wondering, which Freedom Scientific product was this that has the WIN files, the .WIN files, which you accept? Because I don't have Microsoft Word, because I'm out of university, and I'd like to validate books, but when I tried with WordPad, it didn't respect the page breaks, and I'm assuming that this Freedom Scientific product will do so, since you accept their format.
Hi, Matthew. The product that we were referring to is WIN, which stands for What You Need Now. It's a product primarily designed to help people with learning disabilities scan and read. So it's very similar in some ways to Open Book, if you're familiar with that product, except it's designed for a person with low vision or a learning disability, as opposed to a person who is a blind computer user.
Marcia Mackey had a question.
Actually a couple of questions. One of them, one of them is, my poor husband has a devil of a time even unpacking books, and sometimes I think the unpack tool I find sometimes can be a little unwieldy, and I'm wondering if John could speak to that issue. And the second question I had is, what do I do to go about getting as a volunteer to start validating books, as I don't really like to scan the things, but I love evaluating the stuff by others.
Well, thanks, Marcia. To answer the first question, I'm sorry that your husband's having some difficulty unpacking books. I don't know right off the top of my head what the problem might be, but you or he are very welcome to contact me via email or phone, and I'll be happy to help you try and figure out what's going on. Basically, the way that the Unpack utility works, as I'm sure you're aware, is it just kind of runs in the background. You don't actually have to interact with it directly. And when you've downloaded a book, what you need to do is find the file that you've downloaded, press enter on it, and at that point the Unpack tool will recognize the .bks file extension, and it will ask you for your Bookshare password. It'll ask you where you want the Unpack book to be saved, and then it'll go ahead and unpack it and ask you a few questions. Once the book has been unpacked, it'll ask you if you want to delete the original book, and it'll ask you if you want to open the book right now, or if you want to unpack another book. So if you've downloaded multiple books and you want to unpack all of them in one session, you have to do them one at a time, but the unpack tool will allow you to do it without having to exit out of the process. So I hope that answers your question. If you have additional difficulty, as I said, please do contact me, and I will give my contact information at the end of this presentation, and I'll be more than happy to help so that we can figure out what's going on and get the situation straightened out. As far as the validation of books is concerned, we have a large section in the new volunteer manual that goes into great detail on the subject, but what I can do in the meantime is I can email you the volunteer instructions that we currently have. So if you just go ahead and send me an email or give me a call and remind me to do that, I'll be very happy to. I can get it out right away, and then once you've read that, if you have additional questions, you're welcome to contact me and be happy to answer anything that isn't clear.
Okay, Lisa Hall has a comment. Thank you very much for answering my concerns. I proofread for Glover Nook Center for the Blind doing contract NLS work. Louise asks, are there any plans to revamp the categories? A number of them appear to be quite broad and could perhaps be divided into subcategories. Also, what about an announce-only email list?
Okay, here I go. Okay, let me see. Categories, yeah. I'd love to revamp the categories. And frankly, revamping the categories is part of a larger project that we have. And basically, we're seeking resources to get it done, which is sort of an... working to get our metadata, meaning the book information, in other words, title, author, copyright holder, all that kind of book information, working to try to get that from a different way. But like I said, we haven't really got the resources in place to do that. At this point, in terms of trying to revamp the categories, it would take first of all, it would take engineering resources, and second of all, then it would take human resources to sit there and look at every book in a category, like romance or whatever, whatever one you want to pick, and try to divide it, try to figure out what it should be. So that trying to figure out a way to do that more in a more automated fashion is at this point the main way I can see that it would get done. I know that this doesn't answer your question in the immediate future, but I have absolutely logged this issue of having more categories and different categories as a new feature that we're very interested in having in Bookshare.org. So be patient is my suggestion. But this is something that I'm absolutely with you on and have been hoping we could get to soon. What was the other question? I am losing it. Okay, I'm going to let go of the controls. Somebody can remind me of... we do have a list where we distribute our newsletter, and I think that at this point that's basically our announce-only list. Perhaps John has something else to add on that subject.
Yeah, this is Lisa again. One thing I want to mention that John probably didn't mention is that when you unpack a book, one of the questions it will ask you if you wish to create an HTML file when you unpack a Daisy book. And you have the option of yes, you know, to create a HTML file, or no, to not create one. section I'm going to cover. I noticed that Bookshare.org does have some titles in reference to employment.
Lisa, if you have future questions, we welcome them, but could you do an F8 and hit a Q and enter, and it'll come up, okay, in order. Thank you.
Marcia Moses would like to know, what are O'Reilly Books?
O'Reilly Publishing is a company that has produced a lot of computer-related books. We have books on different programming languages and a variety of topics dealing with computers and specifically the PC in a lot of the books. And they are one of the publishers that we've been able to work arrangements with to receive their books electronically. And the thing that's really nice about this is that, of course, since we've gotten the files directly from the publisher, they're what we call letter perfect. They have absolutely no errors in them. And so they are a real pleasure to read because you won't find any scanning errors.
Pam Drake asks, have there been any improvements in the Victor Reader software used by Bookshare? We haven't found it particularly satisfactory in the past, and so haven't used it.
As I think Jennifer mentioned a few minutes ago, we have been beta testing version 2 of Victor Reader Soft. It is a version of the program which has been completely rewritten from the ground up as far as how it actually interacts with the text from the book. And I won't go into a lot of technical details as to all the changes that they've made, but it suffices to say that they have really made a lot of improvements, and I think you're going to be very pleased with this new version. We hope to have it available for download from Bookshare.org in the next couple of months, and once we do have it available, we will make an announcement on all of the lists that we have, which are the volunteer list, the general discussion list, and our newsletter list, which is our announce-only list that was mentioned just a moment ago. If you go to the Bookshare.org main page, there is a link and information that allows you to sign up to receive our Bookshare newsletter. We have been publishing them a little bit more infrequently than we might like, and we're going to see what we can do to get it out a little bit more often, or if not a complete newsletter, what we'll do is we'll get announcements out from time to time on the list to keep you all updated on projects that we're working on here at Bookshare, as well as new tools that come along which are compatible with our books and that sort of thing. So please do stay tuned, because in the next couple of months we will have version 2 of Victor Reader Soft available as a free download for our subscribers.
All right, Lisa Hall comments, don't forget that the software pack utility asks the user if he wishes to create an HTML document. And also, I am aware that Bookshare have titles in the employment and career information. Are there plans to have that category to make it easier to find in the collection?
I'll let Jennifer respond to the second item that Lisa just brought up about the books on careers and employment. To address the first comment that she made, yes, when you do unpack a DAISY book, you are able to save an HTML copy, and this is particularly useful for people who are reading our books on the Macintosh. What they can do is load the book into their browser and then use the internal screen reader that Macintosh has called VoiceOver for reading the book. Jennifer, do you want to address the second part of Lisa's comment?
I think that a lot of those employment books can be found, I don't have the categories completely memorized, I confess, but there's like professional development type of category like that, and I think that a lot of the employment books can be found in there. And the other thing that I'd recommend is search using the word employment, and you're going to come up with a lot of books, or search with the word job, you're going to come up with a lot of books. In other words, either of those key words would be a keyword in your title, and you're going to come up with a lot of books that way, a lot. We we've been putting a bunch more in over the last while because we've an organization has donated some books to us in this arena, and I've always got my eyes open for it as well. I don't anticipate breaking further categories at this point. It would be great to develop a page like Lisa's describing, and it's definitely on my list of things to do because we do have quite an extensive collection. I think it would be valuable for folks. So thanks for the reminder, Lisa. I'll move it up a notch.
Okay. I have one here. It says, Pam Drake. Dave here, how much correction does one need to submit a book? I've got one that's pretty good, but it's not absolutely perfect in format. Excuse me.
Well, Dave, that's where we have the three categories or qualities of books. That's where that comes into play. Obviously, we like books that go into the collection to be as clean as possible, but that doesn't mean that we won't accept books which contain errors. We have some basic guidelines that we require in order for a book to be added into the collection. The book needs to have the copyright page, the title page, it needs to contain page breaks, and it needs to be complete. In other words, we're not interested in adding books into the collection that have missing pages or scans. So, as long as the book meets that basic criteria, it certainly is a candidate for the collection. And what you can do is you can go to our homepage. There's a link for submitting your favorite books, which talks you through the process of submitting the book. Basically, what you do is you fill out a short form where you put in the book title, the author, and copyright information. You get to select the category or categories that you feel the book falls into, and you get to tell us whether or not this book should be considered adult content, and then you also get to select the quality, whether it's you consider it to be good, excellent, or fair, and we have definitions of those qualities so that you can take a look at them and make your best judgment call as to how the book is in terms of quality, and then you can submit it to us. And it may be possible that the validator will spend some time cleaning the book up. So it has errors in it that you don't want to fix or can't fix for one reason or another, it's very possible that the validator can help. And some of our cited validators will actually go out to their local library and get a copy of the book so that they can fill in missing text, or if there are words that are so garbled because of an OCR error that they can't sort it, they'll actually compare with the print book and use that to help them clean it up. So by all means, if you have books that you want to submit to Bookshare, please do. We look forward to all submissions.
All right, I'm sure this is a different Dave. He has a question as well.
Actually, that's me. This is Dave in New Zealand, and I have actually two questions. The first one, why do you insist on U.S. residency for Bookshare membership when you use NLS to validate would-be members? And NLS provides services to U.S. citizens. the second question is kind of a takeoff on that, since you do apparently allow international memberships to the degree that you have the rights to distribute the O'Reilly books and possibly others beyond the U.S. Why can't international members have a membership at a reduced price taking into consideration that international members have access to less of the collection.
I'll take this briefly, and then I'm going to turn over to John to see if he has anything to add. Quite honestly, the questions that you're asking are legal questions, and neither John nor I are lawyers. The way that Bookshare.org is set up in terms of who can be members was determined by lawyers, as far as I have ever heard. And it's not like we're doing this to be mean evil. We're doing this because we must uphold copyright laws and copyright agreements. And that's pretty much my short story. Maybe John has more to elaborate on this.
Well, thanks, Jennifer. And what Jennifer says is very correct. We have agreements with the AAP, and we also have other legal agreements in place, which neither Jennifer nor I are up on to the point of being able to really discuss them. But it suffices to say that right now, one of the things we're working on is trying to take Bookshare International, which is something that Jennifer mentioned a few minutes ago. And one of the things that we're doing is we are seeking to get international permissions from more publishers. As you mentioned, Dave, we do have international permissions from O'Reilly Media, and we're working with other publishers now to try to get those permissions so that we can make more of the collection available to international subscribers. And as far as your question regarding the membership is concerned and payment, I really don't have a good answer to that, other than to say that I'm sure everyone knows that Benetech, which is company our parent company for Bookshare.org, is a nonprofit organization. And right now, the Bookshare subscriptions that we take in account for only about 20% of our operating costs for Bookshare. The rest of the costs are made up from grants that we receive from organizations and from other funding sources. So it is not making money from people's subscription by any means. They're just helping to offset the operating costs that are incurred for this service. So, Dave, I wish I had more specific answers to your questions. Please do rest assured that taking Bookshare International is a very high priority for us. Jim Fruchterman, our president and CEO, is personally working on this, and we hope to make good progress on this later on in 2007. And so please watch our website for press releases and more information on this topic. We, as we make progress, we will also have announcements on our newsletter email list, so something that you definitely will want to subscribe to. Back to you, Fred.
Okay, and I'll turn it over to Matthew Bullis for the moment.
My question is that will the Victor, either your version or the more expanded version available from Humanware, will they support the converting from the format into an MP3 so you can take it with you? Because I have had problems with software like that before, and I wondered if this or your expanded version would take care of that.
I'm going to jump in on this one because I wanted to add one more thing for you, Dave. We operate basically under the Chafee Amendment, which is a U.S. copyright law-related... it's part of the U.S. copyright law. And because our focus is so much on Chafee and what Chafee says, it's my sense that this is why U.S. residency is so essential. And what I would suggest is, if you want further clarification about this, you can drop a message to that effect to info@bookshare.org, and we'll be sure to forward that along to someone who can give you more specifics. And back to Matthew's question about MP3s. Bookshare, both versions of Victor ReaderSoft, our version and the full version, they don't convert files. They are simply readers. They are simply DAISY reading products. And maybe John can give some tips on converting our content to MP3.
Yes, I sure can. And thank you for your question, Matthew. There are a number of programs that will convert text to MP3. OpenBook is able to do it, so is Kurzweil 1000. There is a program called Text Aloud that will do it, and there are many others. Maybe some of you who know of other programs can write them in the text chat, and Fred can tell us what they are. But the three mentioned are programs that I do know of people who are Bookshare subscribers, and they're doing this with our books all the time so that they can load the MP3 files into a small portable player and take them with them.
Dave had another question. If it's a different question, fine. If not, go on to James Mackey.
Yeah, it's a very simple and specific one. Is NLS a funder or contributor to Bookshare?
To the best of my knowledge, the answer is no. We do have a nice working relationship with NLS, and we are able to verify proof of disability for subscribers through them, as I mentioned earlier, but beyond that, we do not receive anything from NLS. Back to you, Fred.
Okay, James Mackey had a question as well.
Yes. Okay, where I have a problem with the Unpack tool is, I guess it's sequencing, you know, how to unpack a book. I think that's the problem because I had had strokes, and would there be a... I know the Unpack tool is designed for Bookshare in the present form that you have it now. Would there be any way that, like the Unpack tool, like when you get to the Unpack where it just says Unpack without having you, you know, read all of the things, you know, it says Unpack and, you know, all of the thing, but what my wife Marcia has done is just said hit Insert, up arrow, and then you're automatically on the Unpack tool after you've selected the book, like in the BRF or DAISY. Is that how it works, that the Unpack tool is automatically selected?
Well, when you press Enter on a book which you've downloaded that's a packed book, that and you'll know when you're on one of those books because the file had a .bks extension. That's Bravo Kilo Sierra for Bookshare. What will happen is you'll automatically run the Unpack tool, and it will go through a series of questions. It'll ask you for your Bookshare password. It'll ask you where you want to unpack the book and so forth. What we could do sometime is actually walk through the process, if that would be helpful to you. And what I think you will find with your computer is that each time you unpack a book, the system will remember where you unpacked the previous book, and it'll automatically put it in that folder so that you won't have to select the folder each time. But you do have to type in your password each time, and you also have to answer the questions about whether or not you want an HTML copy of the book. Prior to that, it'll ask you whether or not you want to delete the packed book, and then it'll ask you if you want to open the book and if you want to unpack another book. And each of those questions, you do answer yes or no, although what you can do is you can press the tab key each time that you're on a question to toggle between the yes and no buttons.
Lisa Hall commented in response to your answer to her previous question, you're quite welcome. Contact me if you have thoughts or concerns. Dave has in here for another question also, though he has a text question, so I'll read his text question. Bookport Transfer, which is the transfer software for the APH book, Bookport Portable MP3 Player, can convert DAISY or BRF formatted books from Bookshare for reading on the Bookport.
That is correct. Yes, it can.
Okay, how we doing here? One or two questions. These speakers have really been working very hard for us tonight. We greatly appreciate that. Are there any more questions?
I'm happy to say, as hard as they've been working, they deserve a break. There are no more questions at this time.
Well, John and Jennifer, on behalf of the Tech Talk team, and I know Pat wants to comment as well, we want to thank you so very much. You guys have gone far beyond the call today. Bookshare is a fabulous organization. You really do get things done almost right after release date or right on the release date, and boy, we sure appreciate it. Thank you so much for your outstanding work.
I do, too, want to thank you very much. And the contact information, you can share it aloud so that it will be a part of the recording. But it also is in the at the very top of our press release under presenters, phone number and email addresses for both Jennifer and John and for Bookshare generally. But I do think we would like to have you verbalize it. And again, from my standpoint, it's great to be able to talk with both of you again after a few years, and having at one time sort of looked over the shoulder of Jennifer as she did her work, I knew then when I heard that she had joined Bookshare that they really had made a great acquisition, and I'm just so proud to have the opportunity to listen to both of you this evening. Okay, John and Jennifer, how about your contact information verbally?
Well, thank you very much, Pat, for those very nice comments, and to you too, Bob. And I'll go ahead and give our contact information. If anyone would like to contact us, we'd love to hear from you. And we're always open to your thoughts and suggestions. And I'd like to say personally that if I can help in any way with technical issues, please don't hesitate to contact me. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I'm John Glass, the Customer Support Manager here at Bookshare. My email address is, we have a couple of them, actually. If you have general questions about Bookshare, please send them to info, at bookshare.org. If you have technical questions, please send those to support@bookshare.org. And we have other people who monitor these email addresses, so that's why I'm giving you both of them. Sometimes I'm out of the office attending a conference or doing something else for Bookshare, and people will be helping out with these email addresses, and so that's the best thing to do. Again, general questions should go to info@bookshare.org. Technical questions should be sent to support@bookshare.org. Our telephone number here, our general number, is a code 650-644-3400, and my direct number is 650-644-3403. Again, our website is www.bookshare.org. I'll turn it over to Jennifer to see if she has any final comments.
Thanks, John. I just want to thank you all for having us. It was a pleasure. This was certainly a great group with excellent questions. Appreciate your thoughtfulness. For those of you who are members, we appreciate your support and hope you like the collection and know that we're always trying to improve the collection and how it works for you. For those of you who submit, validate, serve as volunteers, kudos to all of you, because Bookshare would not exist without you. And this is really a community effort, and it's a community that I'm really proud to be a part of. And thank you all very much for having us, and we look forward to continuing to work with all of you. Have a great evening.
And once again, Pat and Bob, thank you very much for having us on. Fred, thank you for being our eyes and reading all the questions that people had sent in and managing to keep things flowing smoothly. It's been wonderful speaking with all of you, and I'll look forward to talking with each and every one of you very soon. So we'll say goodbye for now. All of you have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon. This is John Glass at Bookshare.
Good night.